This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, November 3rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. There are all kinds of investors out there. The day traders who jump in and out of the stock market, people who only buy mutual funds for their 401k, even people who buy and hold their shares for years. But a sizable portion of the population doesn't have any money invested in stocks.
When you look at people who have a household income under $40,000 a year, 75% of those people say they don't have any money in the stock market at all. But at $100,000 a year or above, still 11% of Americans in that group say they don't have any stocks.
On today's show, we'll talk with Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker about this trend. Plus, we'll hear from a Florida resident who doesn't have any money in the market, not even a retirement account, and never has. That's after the break.
The energy landscape is changing before our eyes. With rising oil and gas prices, alternative fuel options are looking more attractive. But is your portfolio keeping up? At Global X ETFs, our approach to investing in renewables looks beyond what you might have considered. Visit globalxetfs.com to learn how you can invest in the rise of clean energy.
For many Americans, yesterday's decision by the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates had them keeping close tabs on their portfolio or 401k. But many others had no such concerns because they don't have any money in the stock market. In a moment, we'll hear from a Florida resident who's in that category. But first, WSJ personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker is with us. Joe, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, you know, Joe, a recent Gallup survey showed that 41% of Americans say they have no money invested in the markets. What reasons do they give for that?
Many of these people just can't afford to invest. This is something you see when you start breaking down this data by income. When you look at people who have a household income under $40,000 a year, 75% of those people say they don't have any money in the stock market at all. But for another group of people, there appears to be some element of choice. Even once you start getting into household incomes at $100,000 a year or above, still 11% of Americans in that group say they don't have any stocks.
65-year-old Florida resident Arlene Lahara is one of them. So Arlene, do you have any money invested in the market, like even a retirement account?
I do not, JR. Not at this time, no.
Why not?
Well, I'm a little leery of investments. I'm a little apprehensive about risk-taking. I'm not much of a gambler. I don't go to the track. I don't go to Vegas. And I'm just a little leery of the stock market. It just seems so volatile. And I own a home, and I choose that as my investment means. I do not have extra cash to put in the market. I'm, like many people, paycheck to paycheck and just trying to pay down my credit card debt and make my bills, pay my mortgage. The utilities and things like that are going up lately, monthly. And so just trying to meet those payments is all I can do at the moment.
Okay, so outside of the stock market, is there any kind of investing you do to try to protect and grow your holdings?
Well, I own my home, and I have had success in real estate. That was back before the market crashed. I bought a home in 2001, and I sold it 5 years later and made a really good profit on that. I bought this home in 2006, and my plan was to be here for 2 years and flip the house, but by 2008, the home really wasn't worth but maybe a little more than a quarter of what I paid for it. So I invest in the house right now. It has jumped up, and I invest in my home. I put upgrades and improvements in the house and treat that as my main source of investment potential.
You know, we've seen ups and downs in the market in 2022, but in 2020 and 2021, we saw a series of sharp rises in the market. And, you know, there were a series of records that were broken. While that was happening, did you get the feeling that you might have been missing out on money-making opportunities?
Well, I sure did. I have a friend who is a day trader. He invests in E-Trade. And there was a period of time there where he was doing really well. He just didn't seem like he had a bad day. But his only problem was he'd never pulled any money out of it. And so the money he did make, he ended up losing maybe just a few weeks later. And what's funny is we started to tell people about his system, and then really quickly it was, well, we're glad we didn't really tell too many people about it because he's not really doing very well right now. But his experience with that, the ups and downs, and that's too much for me. It seems like it's up and down, and you're really putting everything into a number, a negative or a positive each day. And it just doesn't seem like that should affect the whole day. It just doesn't seem like a person should depend on, you know, whether a number is up or down, whether the stock market is up or down, to determine whether you're going to be happy that day.
All right, that's Florida resident Arlene Lahara. Arlene, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much.
So, Joe, Arlene said that it's the market ups and downs that are largely keeping her from putting money in. But even if people like Arlene aren't invested in the stock market, what kind of influence does the market still have on their lives?
There are a couple ways to think about this. One is a pretty direct pathway through which the market affects people's lives. When the market goes down, people who hold stocks, they get less wealthy. And researchers have documented that they start spending less money, which sort of produces this chain of events where firms have lower demand, they pay workers less or have workers work fewer hours, which then ends up translating to a drop in income in the aggregate for workers. So there is this direct line that you can draw. Less directly is a little hard to pin down, but there was an interesting study out of the UK that found that over periods of time of 6 months or a year, people reported lower levels of mental well-being the more stocks dropped during that period. And that was a finding that applied both to people who held stocks and to people who didn't.
Yeah, let's talk for a moment about people who do have money in the market. The current market volatility might make some investors think about getting out. What do their financial advisors tell them?
It is totally understandable that someone who has money in the market would be freaking out by this point of the year. But one financial advisor I spoke with was saying that even though many of his clients are coming to him with those sorts of emotions, his advice is usually to just stick with their long-term strategy and not sell. I think the bigger idea here is that when people are investing in the market, it's really useful to take a long-term time horizon and not think about just what's happening in this moment. This financial advisor was saying that the plans that he develops with his clients always account for the possibility of a downturn like the one we've seen this year. And so he's saying that even if people feel panic in this moment, it's useful to think on the scale of decades.
But, you know, the uncertainty that a lot of people feel about getting into the market, it seems like it's not just specific to this particular stretch of time. You spoke to somebody who's decided not to put money into the market, and this goes back to the 2008 financial crisis. What do they tell you about that decision?
Yeah, one man I interviewed was a high school teacher in North Carolina, and he started working around the time of the financial crisis. He saw, though, that in the years afterwards, as the economy started to improve and stocks started to go up again, he came to feel a bit frustrated that his pay wasn't increasing and it was staying flat. And he told me that this was something that kind of over time made him indifferent to whether the market was going up. And nowadays, as the market goes down, he's just as indifferent because his life doesn't really seem to feel that impacted by it. An interesting thing about how he has deployed his money is that instead of investing his excess cash, he's been really passionate about becoming debt-free, and he's been saving up for years to pay off the rest of his mortgage in full. So he's currently 12 years into a 30-year mortgage, and by the end of the year, he hopes he's going to be putting down nearly $100,000 that he's been saving up to wipe out the remaining mortgage payments.
That seems like a different take on risk and reward.
Yeah, he has a very particular set plan for the short and medium term. He said he's really prized financial stability, and this is something that felt important to him to be on top of. He said he may eventually invest once he feels like he's on top of this.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker. Joe, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Discover the extraordinary ideas shaping our future at the Future of Everything Festival when the Wall Street Journal brings together leaders from business, science, sports, and culture, May 2nd through 4th at Spring Studios in New York City. Register today for a 3-day premium pass and get your second one free. This offer ends on November 18th. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.